Hey, Kim, guess what time of year it is?
It's Halloween, and we've got a week of creepiness for our listeners.
Yep, October 26th to the 30th, we'll be celebrating our favorite holiday with you, our favorite people.
Each day, we'll have a brand new mini episode of something creepy and crawly for you to enjoy.
So stop in and listen every day, then tweet us for a chance at some killer kudzu giveaways. Cut that out, it's undignified.
Okay. Hi, y'all, and welcome to Kudzu Killers, Homicide, and Sweet Tea, where we like to share gothic tales of Southern-style murder.
I'm Lark, and that other voice you hear is Kim. Each week, we take turns telling you the gruesome details of serial killers, spree killers, and just plain old mean people that we find interesting, and we hope you do too. Sometimes quirky and weird, but always respectful.
So sit back, grab your glass of iced tea, relax, and let us take you step by step through our story. And feel free to shoot us a comment on a specific episode on our blog at kudzukillerspodcast.blogspot.com.
Now, let's get on with the show.
Plans.
I am so digging this weather. I mean, it was 60 degrees yesterday.
It was 48 when I got up this morning.
I love it. And I got a pair of boots delivered today. How about right. that? I
oh,
know.
Good.
I know.
Not snow stomping boots, but
oh no, they're
kicky
a little
boots.
More. Yeah, they're a lacy kind of punk rocker Ooh. With a. Satin lace ups on the sides with big buckles.
And now you people know Lark.
Yeah. They're red and black, lacy, but leathery punk rockers.
And Kim is more of the combat boots girl.
So, anyway. You know. So we're all looking forward to being able to wear our boots, man.
Yeah, and leather jackets.
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, and velvet. How about that burgundy velvet? Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Remember, my mom is watching this.
Oh, yeah, okay. Hey, Mama. Hey, Miss Gannon. Meanwhile.
Okay, so. I got a story for you this week.
So I am so excited to hear. What's the tale, man?
Well, this guy they've discovered in the last year or two is evidently the most prolific serial killer in U.S. history. He's confessed to the rape and murder of 93 women all over the country. And I mean all over the country.
Oh, my God.
And so far, the FBI has confirmed at least 60 of them. So they're pretty sure when wow. he says 93, he's not kidding.
Wow.
That's more than Ted Bundy and Jeffrey Dahmer combined.
Wow. This was like his only job in life.
Well, it really was because he didn't work.
Wow.
But the interesting thing is the means they're using to confirm the identities of the women that he killed. And mm-hmm. I'll get to that in a little bit later. But okay. first, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Samuel Little, serial killer, rapist, and all-around bad guy. He was born June 7th, 1940 in Reynolds, Georgia. Mm-hmm. The family soon moved to Lorain, Ohio, where he was raised by his grandmother. In high school, he didn't do well, and he had problems with discipline. Shocking. They usually always do, don't they?
Yeah, you think? Uh-huh.
So this is a common thread we hear a lot.
Mm-hmm.
These killers don't like authority. They don't like rules. So
defiant.
It's like they set out to break out as many of them as they can.
Yep.
Somehow, Little made it over to Omaha, Nebraska when he was 16, where he was convicted of breaking and entering and sentenced to time in reform school. Well, we all know what those reform schools are like at that time because of your episode of Dozier's School for Boys, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sure he didn't have a great time while he was there. Plus all those rules, right?
Mm-hmm.
And after he got out of there, he dropped out of school. I think he was still 16. I don't think he stayed in there for very long. But He dropped out of school and began to travel around the country, sort of aimlessly, nomadic kind of existence. And at one point, he claims he worked as a prize fighter.
Oh, right. For sure.
In 1961, he was back in Lorain, Ohio, and arrested for breaking and entering into a furniture store. Mm-hmm. They gave him 3 years, and he was released in 1964. And between 1964 and 1975, that's 11 years, he was arrested a total of 26 times.
Oh, my God.
For theft, fraud, attempted rape, assault, attacks on government officials.
Oh, my God.
I mean, there are red flags all over this guy, right?
Wow.
All kinds of opportunities for them to keep him in prison for a while, but they didn't.
Like a revolving door for him, man.
Yeah. In 1970 or 71, he claims he murdered his first victim, a woman in Homestead, Florida, who is, as far as I know, not identified yet.
He said
he thought she worked at Homestead Air Force Base. He also claimed to have killed a woman from Massachusetts in 1972. He said, oh, she's between 20 and 25, and they've identified the victim, actually. They know who that woman was, so they've identified her.
Oh, my goodness.
In 1982... Little was down in Pascagoula, Mississippi, where he was arrested for the murder of Melinda Rose LaPree, who'd gone missing in September, but the charges were dropped due to lack of evidence.
Uh-oh.
But while they were investigating him there, they got a call from Florida investigators, where he was wanted for questioning in the murder of 26-year-old Patricia Ann Mount, whose body had been found in September of 1982. They had several eyewitnesses who said they'd seen him with Patricia the night before her murder. But the grand jury, or actually the jury, didn't trust the eyewitness testimony and acquitted him in January of 1984.
Why?
Because they didn't trust the testimony of prostitutes, and those were the eyewitnesses.
Oh, yeah. That's a shame.
Yeah. So after his release, he took off as fast as he could go to San Diego.
Crossing the country.
Yeah.
Fast as he could.
Get away from Florida.
Yeah.
They have the death penalty there.
Yep.
In October of 1984, he was arrested there for kidnapping, beating, and strangling a 22-year-old woman named Laurie Barros, who survived the ordeal.
Oh, my goodness.
Police decided to start following him to see if he'd do it again. And a month later, they caught him in the back seat of a car doing the exact same thing to an unconscious woman.
Wow.
He was tried and received 4 years for both of those incidents. 4 years total.
Wouldn't that be considered attempted murder and he only gets 4 years?
You would think.
Wow.
But he only served 2.5 because he was released for good behavior in February of 1987.
Oh, my God.
And then he ran as hard as he could up to Los Angeles.
Wow.
Once he got to L.A., he committed at least 10 more murders there.
What?
And he was never caught for any of them. Now, this went on for years, with Samuel Little moving all over the country and evidently continuing his serial murders everywhere he went.
You know, he seems pretty bold, and they haven't even twigged to him.
He is. He is, but see, he keeps moving around, and these people, I'll get to in a little bit, but these people... There aren't any witnesses, or there aren't any what they deem reliable witnesses.
Right, credible people.
Right, to him doing this. So he's gotten away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And on September 5th, 2012, so about 25 years after he got out of prison for the two attempted murders, he was arrested at a homeless shelter in Louisville, Kentucky, and extradited back to California, L.A. Once they got him there... They had linked him with using DNA, and once they got him there, they double-checked everything, and they linked him to Carol Eileen Elford, killed in July 13th, 1987, so not long after he got out of jail for the attempted murders, right?
Turned around and did it again.
Got out in February, and he killed this woman in July.
Mm.
Guadalupe Apodaca, who was killed on September 3rd, 1987. And Audrey Everett, who was killed on August 14th, 1989. All three women were killed and later found on the streets of Los Angeles.
Wow.
A few months later, the police said that Little was being investigated for involvement in dozens of murders committed in the 1980s, which had until then been undisclosed. They didn't tell everybody they were looking at him for any more than three until he got him there.
But now they have DNA, et cetera, right?
Yep.
At this point.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. In total, he was tested for involvement in 93 murders so far.
Oh my God. Wow. Yep.
This guy.
Wow.
I played a little bit of his confession tapes from the FBI. He's just very calm about it. He's just like, you know, he's telling stories, fond memories from years ago, you know, like we all do.
You know how it struck me? It struck me like he was telling a bunch of young boys sitting on the porch, yeah, man, this is what I did, and she was fine, and blah, blah, blah. I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, yeah. You know, he's yeah. talking to a bunch of, bragging to a bunch of younger boys telling his story.
Well, that's what it seemed like, yeah. And if you ever see the videos, folks, he's just sitting there smiling like he's chatting with an old friend and telling him, oh, yeah, she's about 5'6" and weighed about 140 pounds. And she had this beautiful brown skin. And yeah, he didn't limit his victims to any race or hair color or anything like that. Didn't really matter to him who they were or what they looked like, except he just wanted to make sure they were women and he wanted to do all men.
He basically did the same thing over and over again. So he like had a routine.
Finish. Yeah. Yeah. And when we come back from a break, we're going to take a break in just a minute. And we're going to talk about the trial. And we're going to talk about his confessions some more. And that other thing that is being used by the FBI and Texas Rangers to find out who some of the victims might have been.
Ooh, I can't wait.
We're also going to come back with a witness for the prosecution and her story in just a minute. We'll be right back, y'all.
Tell me what that girl looked like.
Oh, man, I loved her. I forget her name. Oh, wait. I think it was Ruth.
Okay.
She was a heavy-set, big old yellow gal and had buck teeth. She had a gap between the teeth, that's what it was. And she was like honey colored skin, and she had her hair was not really long.
How tall do you think she was?
She was about 5'7".
How much do you think she weighed?
She weighed about close to 200, about 170.
Pretty big girl.
Yeah. Right.
Now, where did you meet her at?
Welcome to the trailer for What the Suck Podcast. Do you like movies?
Do you like horror movies?
You know, movies like Exorcist 2 and The Bye Bye Man.
Well, those of you still with us are just the weirdos we want.
We watch all the terrible, no good, so bad they are bad movies you never knew existed.
Have you seen Wish Upon, I Am Zozo, Creepshow 3 perhaps? You haven't? Well, lucky for you, we have, and we are here to tell you all about them because we believe that no matter how bad a movie is, it should be watched. Someone put at least some effort into these, and bad movies deserve love, too.
And boy, do we love watching them. So, please join us, your hosts Chris and James, on What the Suck Podcast for a weekly discussion of all things bad, good, good bad, bad bad, so bad they are good they are bad, so bad they are bad, and Gary Busey.
That's my best Busey. I don't know if that works, but
it works for me. Found everywhere podcasts can be listened to.
Well, he had picked me up and shoved me in his car. He knew exactly where he was going. I could tell because it was very direct, but I remember him driving up, you know, this pretty steep, gravelly dirt road that would be this area. And I was trying to hold back my fear, I remember, as he was driving up there. He threw me in the back seat of the car. He wanted me to tie my hands up behind my back, and then I was scared. And then he lays my head down and starts strangling me.
So, Lark, what you just heard was one of Samuel Little's surviving victims from an interview that aired on Oxygen.
Good for her. What a strong girl.
That was Lori Barros, who I talked about earlier, who he was put in jail for strangling for 4 years and only served 2.5. Lori was a sex worker at the time, who he picked up under the guise of hiring her. Mm. And she was a lucky, lucky woman that she got out of that car. Another woman named Lila also escaped. So hopefully a lot of others escaped him before he was able to kill them and just most likely didn't report it to police because they were prostitutes.
Right. I'm sure they already knew they weren't going to be taken seriously. So just went on about their business.
Yeah. And could get into trouble if they went to the police too. They were afraid of that, I'm sure.
Right.
So as I mentioned earlier, Samuel Little was arrested at a homeless shelter in Louisville, Kentucky, and extradited to California, and his DNA matched a number of unsolved murders in Los Angeles. He was set to stand trial for the murders of Carol Elford, Audrey Everett, and Guadalupe Apodaca in September of 2014. The evidence was pretty clear-cut, and then there were witnesses, too, because Laurie was brave enough, and I think Lila was as well, to go to the trial once again and testify against him and tell the jurors what he did to them before.
Good for them.
On September 25th of that year, 2014, Samuel Little was convicted and sentenced to 3 consecutive sentences of life without the possibility of parole.
Well, it's about time.
Which in California is the same as the death penalty, basically, because they don't follow through with the death sentence. I won't harp on the cost to the taxpayers of California for the upkeep of those death penalty people, but versus a life sentence, but
please do.
But it's 18 times more costly, people, to give a death sentence. So,
well, okay. I know it's emotionally satisfying to hear he gets the death penalty, and Kim and I constantly discuss this, but I'm all the way on your page, and yeah, exactly.
Follow the money trail.
Exactly. It's all about the money, y'all.
Plus, I like to think they sit in there and suffer, especially this guy who was used to traveling around all over the country. He's not traveling anymore. So,
well, I always get the feeling that the people on death row are actually, I don't know this for a fact, but I have always got the feeling that they were treated better than the people in the general population.
I don't know about treated better because I think they're in their cells 23 out of 24 hours, but I think they get visitation maybe, or I have no idea if they get any extra perks. Or
I'm really not in that world either, so I don't know. So meanwhile, back to Samuel.
So all the while, even after his conviction, Samuel Little was, of course, saying, "I'm innocent. They got the wrong man."
Of course he is.
To paraphrase Red in Shawshank Redemption, everybody in prison is innocent.
Exactly. So. Totally. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's my favorite movie, by the way.
Mm-hmm. The secret's in the sauce.
Now that's, you like fried green tomatoes.
Yeah, man, there's my man, secrets in the sauce. Anyway, sorry, y'all, we're digressing. Please continue, Kim.
But in 2018, he was extradited to Texas for the murder of a woman named Denise Brothers in 1994. Mm-hmm. Texas, where we have a fast lane, right?
Yeah, we do.
Express lane. He was sitting in a jail cell in Decatur, I believe. I think it was Decatur.
Oh, my goodness.
In Wise County. Mm-hmm. And having a chat with the Texas Rangers. They made him an offer. They said if he'd confess to the murder, they'd take the death penalty off the table. Because he was already in prison. They just wanted a confession.
Right. Want to help some people out.
Mm-hmm.
Find out what happened.
He agreed.
Well, of course
but
he did.
But that wasn't all. Once he got started, he couldn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
So in a 7-hour taped confession, he admitted to the 93 murders in total. And the FBI's working on finding out if they're all true.
Wow.
He remembered, like I alluded to a little earlier, he remembered every single detail of each and every murder.
That's
right down
crazy.
To how he did it, what they were wearing, what they looked like, what color their eyes were.
Wow.
If he had a partial name, he'd give it to them. And, you know, some of them are still unknown. But, mm-hmm. you know, he would give them, he just spilled his guts and told them everything.
Well, you think he thought he was about to become famous?
I don't know if he was doing that or he just wanted to get it all off his chest. Or Yeah, he might have decided, hey, they haven't. I've given them 2 years. I've been in prison to find all these other women, and it doesn't look like they're going to do it, so I'm just going to tell them where to find them.
Right.
So far, they've found 60 of them.
Wow.
That are actually, in fact, his murder victims.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
That was as of the last article that I read, which was, I think, October 9th of this year, I think.
Oh, my goodness.
So it seems like he's on the up and up. And the like I said, the FBI feels all the confessions are accurate. And they've decided to name him the most prolific serial killer ever in the U.S.
Well, it seems like it.
Yeah. So let's listen to just a little bit more of his confession tapes.
Okay.
She was pretty, a light-skinned, brown, honey-colored skin. And she was about 5. She's about tall. She was tall for a woman. Mm-hmm. About 5'8", 5'9". And she's beautiful shape. And she's friendly.
And how much do you think she weighed?
She had a beautiful body, a beautiful 150, well put together.
And how old do you think she was?
She was about 30.
Okay, and she's a black female.
Yeah.
And tell me where you met her.
I met her in a nightclub in New Orleans.
Now this is a guy who is so casual about these murders. He smiles and he talks about the victims fondly, like he's known them a long time, like you said earlier, like he's talking to the boys and bragging about it. Not even bragging about it. It's almost like he's just telling a story about all the women he's known. And
I'm telling you, he's sitting on the porch with a soda pop, man.
Yeah, probably.
Talking. Wow.
Like I said, he didn't seem to have a particular race or height. Not, you know, most serial killers will pick, you know, someone who's 5'3 with brown hair, shoulder length, you know, or something like that. But he didn't.
So did he have like a bad childhood or something? Did he ever say why he did any of this?
Well, he often told people that his mother had been a prostitute and that he was sent to Ohio to be raised by his grandmother. Now, I don't even know if that was true. Mm-hmm. He called her a lady of the night is what he called her.
Uh-huh.
So maybe he was getting back at sex workers in general as a sort of a mother substitute. But it seems to me like if he was really doing that, they would all seem to look alike. But he didn't have a particular race or, in fact, one of his victims was transgender.
Oh, my goodness.
So it was just like his excuse for what he did. And these were easy targets because some of them were homeless people. They weren't,
it's
people that have dropped out of society or people that someone might not miss very easily.
Right. Well, totally off the grid.
Mm-hmm. He would strike up a conversation with someone, go in and shoplift because that's pretty much how he got along by shoplifting or getting his current girlfriend to go shoplifting for him. He did have a girlfriend who was driving him around all these places. And I can't recall her name off the top of my head, but she helped him and made his living for him by shoplifting.
Mm-mm.
He would sit out in the car while she went in and stole some stuff and came back out.
Well, did he keep any kind of like diary or all this was just in his head?
I think it was all just in his head. I didn't see anything about a diary.
Wow.
Now, the FBI is attempting to identify more of his victims.
Mm-mm-mm.
And as I said, so far, they've confirmed at least 60 to have been his serial killings. And they still have more to go. Many of these women were on the fringes of society, like I said, prostitutes, drug addicts, homeless people. So, as you can imagine, finding names or even missing persons reports is really difficult.
Right.
Honestly, I'm surprised they found as many as 60.
That's incredible.
On the FBI website, which is linked in our YouTube channel's show notes, as well as our blog, are the other things I mentioned that are assisting the investigators in their quest to name all the victims.
Wow.
And one way he's helping them is he is drawing or has drawn chalk pastel portraits from memory of all of these women.
I'm appalled. Oh, my God.
And the FBI has all of these chalk drawings of the women who haven't been identified yet.
Oh, my God. I have chills.
That link is in our YouTube notes and our blog as well.
Oh my God, that's awful.
Along, we've got the confession tapes or partial confession tapes of him there as well.
Oh, wow.
It's amazing. It's amazing to me. This guy claims he could remember what they all looked like, and evidently he can.
Well, you know, a lot of these people that do this stuff, I'm not saying, I don't know how to say this. A lot of them are really very brilliant on one hand. They're just also nuts, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
So, it's true. You know, I would totally buy that he's remembering what they look like. Right down to the last eyelash. I mean, I totally buy that.
Well, and what he talks about them, like I said, it's fond memories. So he may have those fond memories in his head and just remembers each and every one. To me, if I did that, they would all start to run together, I think. But maybe not. If it's something that brought me pleasure, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it could be that he's in such a heightened moment when he's doing that, it just burns into your brain.
Mm-hmm. He's telling them where he met them. He's telling them where he killed them. He's telling them where their bodies are dumped, and they're able to go to these places and ask if they have any cold cases.
Wow. I guess that one little comment that he made where he says, she just had this beautiful honey colored skin.
He remembers.
God.
Says sometimes he smiles and laughs and acts like he has fond memories, like I said, but he's obviously one sick puppy.
For sure.
Now, as recently as October 9th of this year, they identified yet another victim whose body was found in 1981. When Little confessed to this killing to the Texas Rangers in 2018, he thought it was Chattanooga he dumped the body, but they couldn't find any unsolved murders in that area that matched the description.
Mm-hmm.
But the district attorney in Hamilton County, Tennessee, which is where Chattanooga is located, mm-hmm. called the Georgia Bureau of Investigation to see if they had any cold cases because, you know, they're right there together, Georgia and Tennessee, right. And Chattanooga's right there.
Mm-hmm.
He called them to see if they had any cold cases that matched the description of the woman, and they did.
Oh, my.
So they sent GBI Special Agent Steve Rogers, hello, Captain America, to Texas to speak to Little.
Mm-hmm.
He gave more information, and they believed they had the right victim. Then on March 19th, 2019, they unveiled a forensic reconstruction of the victim's skull, and lo and behold, somebody contacted them who thought that it was a long-lost relative of theirs who had disappeared in 1981.
Wow.
This person submitted a blood sample, and DNA testing showed that they had indeed discovered the identity of one of the unknown Jane Doe victims. Her name was Patricia Parker.
Aww.
As I said earlier, this is still an ongoing investigation to attempt to identify the other 30-plus victims claimed mm-hmm. by Samuel Little. He's very cooperative, I'm guessing, so he can be known as the most prolific serial killer in U.S. history, not for any altruistic reason. He doesn't care if these families get closure. He just wants to, you know, he wants to make sure he's the top of the list now, the top dog.
Exactly.
He's the biggest serial killer there ever was.
He'd be the big man in jail, mm-hmm. in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Well, most of these guys are like that. Most of them want to be known. And some of them, we've seen before, some of them get frustrated if the cops don't figure it out soon enough. And so they start sending letters.
Telling
mm-hmm. them about it or things mm-hmm. like that. Zodiac did that. You know, mm-hmm. BTK did that. So.
Yep. Oh, my goodness gracious. I just can't get my brain around that many people so recently in our lives.
Yeah.
You know, you think about that could be much more possible way back in the day when the police didn't have all the ability that they have now. But wow.
Yeah.
And the cameras everywhere now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's, well, these happened between 1970 and 2005. So maybe all of that technology wasn't out there. But and also he hadn't really given any DNA up until his conviction in California, or mm-hmm. actually it may have been one before that, because I think California had his DNA and that's how they figured out who it was. But
right.
they didn't have the technology to do the things they're doing now to look up and see who it might have been.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But at this moment, he sits in a cell in California State Prison in Lancaster, California. And he's still cooperating with Texas Ranger James Holland and others to try to identify these women.
Wow. Well, I hope he's not getting anything but bread and water into the big
well, you know that's not true, and it's California. They don't have it. He got life in prison. They're not going to execute him. But he's 80 years old, so here's crossing our fingers that he actually lives long enough to help them identify all 93 women.
Yeah.
Because he's at 80 years old, you know, he's getting on up there. So how much more time do we have with him to identify these women?
Well, not much. And how clear is he at 80 years old? You know what I mean?
He's pretty darn clear from those FBI tapes. And that was 2 years ago. He was 78.
Really? That's how old he was? Because he sounded, I hate to say this, but he sounded like a fairly young man talking.
No, he was 78 years old. That was those tapes were from 2 years ago.
Oh, wow.
When he finally confessed to all these murders. He hadn't confessed to them up until then.
Mm-mm.
So he had always said he maintained his innocence. So, you know, he just decided to let them all out. Maybe he's figured he's 78. He's getting close to his time to kick off and he wants to make peace with God. I think most likely it's
he just wants infamy.
He wants them to know before he dies. He wants to see his name in lights or whatever.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Well, does he have any family that stepped up and claimed him or?
No, I think they know who his family is. I think they're in Lorain, Ohio, I think, and they know who he is. So I don't have any idea if any of them. I mean, he was never home. He traveled all over the country. He was basically a drifter.
Right.
And, you know, he probably never had that much contact with them after he was 16 years old and took off.
Well, I sure do hope that, as sad as it is, that they find the names to the rest of the bodies and the rest of the victims.
And on that note, there are about 30 portraits drawn by Mr. Little on the FBI website that's linked in our show notes, as I said before, and on our blog at Kudzu Killers Podcast at blogspot.com. If you know of someone who had a female member of the family disappearing in the 70s, 80s, or even on up to 2005, contact the FBI and let them know about the drawings and information.
Right. And recognize them.
If you recognize them, which drawing, and it doesn't matter where you are because this guy was all over the place. So you could be in Minnesota and he might have had a victim there.
Wow.
We know of at least 16 to 18 states that he had victims in. So there may be more all over the place. Just don't know.
Right. So you just never know how you can be helpful.
That's right. He could have killed anyone almost anywhere. So take a look at the portraits. They may not be that great. I mean, the drawings, they're kind of amateurish, but there might be something there that reminds you of that person or some of the details that they do know, like where he killed them and if they have that.
Exactly.
They're all listed in there with the drawings. So, you know, you never know. It could be somebody that you know. So I would go look at the FBI's website personally and see if there's somebody there I knew.
Absolutely. Or somebody that, you know, your family's talked about for years and years about how they just disappeared and you never heard back from them. Right. And we always wondered what happened to Martha Jean.
Yep. I have an uncle like that, or great uncle, my dad's uncle, who left home and went to San Francisco, and they heard from him like twice again after that, and they never heard from him anymore. So we don't know what happened to him.
Yep. And with so much DNA and all this popping up and different families, you know, reaching out to each other just to reconnect, you just never know who you might be helping.
But this guy was a real piece of work, and he's in California State Penitentiary, so we don't have to worry about him. Not that I think he could. I mean, like I said, he's 80 now, and he might be able to strangle a really weak person. I don't know. He's looked like a pretty good sized guy when I was looking at the pictures of him, and there are pictures of him in a wheelchair.
Well, you never know. Yeah.
All right, then. That's my show.
That's your show.
That's it.
That was, I'm just a little speechless, to be honest with you. The pastels are just flooring me. Those pictures.
Chalk pastels, and they're very interesting, and no two of them look alike, so it's not like he's drawing the same picture over and over again.
Yeah, that brings a whole new meaning to prison art.
Yep.
Not making light of it. I'm just saying, finally, somebody to, you know, do something just, decent.
I'm just still floored over the fact that he remembers what they all look like and can describe them and tell where he left them. It's just unreal to me.
Yeah, but apparently that's not a tall tale, you know?
It's true.
Wow. Well, so, thanks, Kim. Thanks yeah. for diving into that. I'm sure it was kind of, did you need a shower? I think I need one now, too.
Just a reminder that we won't have a Tuesday episode next week because it's Halloween.
Oh, right.
And yeah. we will have a mini episode every single day.
Mm-hmm. So. And those are kind of, they're more bloody and gory and gooshy. Y'all will love it.
I hope so.
All right.
I call them Halloween-y.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. We love Halloween. So this is our favorite deal. So we hope that y'all come back and see us. Thanks again for being here today. Thanks, Kim.
Yeah.
See you. So we'll see y'all soon.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.
That's our episode for this week. Thanks for listening to us. And we hope you join us again every Tuesday for an exciting new episode.
Head on over to our blog at kudzukillerspodcast.blogspot.com and leave a comment or your ideas about the subject this week.
Or follow us on Twitter at kudzukillerspod. And you can shout out to us anytime. Or send a question for our next Q&A.
Yes, ma'am. And we'd love you forever if you leave us a review on whatever podcast blows your skirt up. We'd love to hear what you think of our new show.
If you'd like to become a part of the Kudzu Killers family, hop on over to patreon.com/kudzukillerspodcast and take a look at the goodies you get when you show us some love.
That's right. And if you love our music, check out Jody Jennings' music on Facebook, SoundCloud, or all social media and streaming music platforms.
So until next week,
or if we decide to shoot out a mini episode,
bye y'all.
Bye, y'all.